Let's bow our heads and word of prayer. Gracious, loving God, you who created us, you who sustains us, you who gives us life, bless us as we turn to your word this day. May that word speak to us as we live out our lives in these times. And may we hear the wonderful message of the good news that is proclaimed to each life, and that we may grow in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple question. What do you believe? Why do you trust God's word to be true? The world in which we find ourselves contradicts that truth. Do you wonder what the future holds for us? We're not alone. Habakkuk, a minor prophet, looked around him and he saw that much around him was wrong. And worse, when he appealed to God, it appeared that God was not listening. Let's go back to Habakkuk's complaint. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you widely look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. And so the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. Familiar words, even for our lives today. How long is the cry of Habakkuk? How long is also an important question for Christians to consider. Job asked that question about the problems of evil and how long, O Lord? The psalm for the day, Psalm 62, verse 3 says, how long will all of your attack a man to better him? Like a leaning wall, a tottering fence. How long is a question for our lives today. The book opens with a question. A question the prophet does not answer or doesn't seem to answer. He wonders about whether God is faithful. Whether God is faithful with his covenant to that of Abraham back in Genesis chapter 15. Habakkuk complains. This destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention abound. The law is paralyzed. And justice goes forth perverted. Boy, could that claim be said of our world today? How long? Now, some may agree with that and some may not. I wanted to title the message, Do You Hear What I Hear? And I know that's a Christmas song. Well, we did sing an Advent hymn to start the service. But reality is, do you hear what I hear is an important question. Look around you today as you live out in your life, the world in which we find ourselves, the messages are many. Media, social medias, podcasts, messages abound, and what do you hear? What do you listen to? Habakkuk's struggle was, where is God? in all of this. And sometimes I ask that question, where is God in all that is happening in our world today? And then he also asks the question, why do you idly look at raw? It seems like nothing is happening that should be happening. And so for the human perspective, sometimes it appears that God does not act. And so we wonder. For instance, have you ever prayed for God to get you through a situation? And then when he gives you a way out, you might have thought to yourselves, that's not the way I thought he should do that. Answers Habakkuk, write it down. Seem slow in coming and wait for it. Well, that doesn't seem like much help for you and I as we live out our lives today. Write it down and wait for it. We're not good at waiting. Matter of fact, we live in a society where we want instantaneity in our lives. We want to know now, not next week. But Luther on this passage says, the flesh is neither able to believe in God when in temptation, nor to trust that God is reliable and certain to keep his promise. So at this point, Habakkuk fights against the doubt of the flesh. Sound familiar? How about your doubts of the flesh? How often do we find ourselves dealing with that battle of the flesh? But Habakkuk answers that in the second chapter, verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by faith. A simple message for every Christian, and a message we should keep in our heart and in our lives to realize that the righteous live by faith. When we struggle, when we are perplexed, when we're down, when we're battling, whatever it is, we need to remember that God has not forsaken us. God has not left us. He is there in the midst of that battle or that struggle. Well, in our reading from Timothy, we hear these words. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. What a positive thought that the writer of Timothy gives to us. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God gives us a spirit of fear, but of not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. As a Christian, we are to live in faith. The righteous shall live by faith. That means we need to allow things to happen. And to realize God is still there. God has not deserted us. And sometimes he puts us through these things in order to put us to the test or to see where we really are. Or there's the message of the gospel. This is the power of God who saves us and calls us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his grace. Think about that. God's grace is poured out on our lives each and every day, and sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we realize that, or we don't realize all that God has done for us. In Christ, when he went to the cross, he abolished death. He did for us what we could not do. We have been given this tremendous gift. It is by faith you are saved. It is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Here we see that light that light that shines in the darkness. It's also confirmed in the gospel reading today when the disciples ask the Lord to increase their faith, and he says, if you had faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, I'm really uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, that's a scene I'd love to see. Can you imagine a tree being uprooted and planted in the middle of the sea? But you see, we have a God. A God who has been there from the beginning. A God who created us. A God who calls us to be his people. In our baptism, he made us his child. And we walk by faith, by living out what he has accomplished for us. St. Paul proclaimed in Romans that faith comes through hearing. The Lutheran confessions clearly teach that the Holy Spirit is the one who works faith in our lives. The Spirit comes through the Word and the reception of Lord's Supper. And as we come to his table today, we are reminded of what God has done for us, the wonderful gift he has given us, and that we have a reason to live life in all of its fullness. Salvation and faith are gifts from God. A gift given when he sent his only son into our world to die, to do for us what we could not do. It is St. Paul who reminds us that in Ephesians, that faith is a gift of God. Habakkuk seems to be struggling, complaining. Because how do we grasp this faith? How do we hold on to that? Or do we sometimes fall into the temptation of seeing all this around us and wondering, where's God? Is he not listening? Is he not there? When we know, he's always there. He's always been there. Faith is a very precious gift. It is made and happens through the Holy Spirit working in one's life, through the Word, through the sacrament, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, as John would end his book. In the believing, you may have life in his name. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear, when you hear God's word spoken, when you read God's word, when you come to the Lord's table, do you hear what God has accomplished for you? We are to follow the shepherd, the one who laid down his life. We have been saved by grace. It is not our own doing. It's a wonderful gift. And so that's always an important question. It's a question we need to ask ourselves every once in a while. Do you hear what I hear? Do you hear God at work through the Holy Spirit in your life? Amen.